ESPN 97.5.
KFNC and 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
DJ, look at the clock.
5 o'clock.
You know what that means?
What that means? Oh, that means Love Island come up in 3 hours.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. DJ!
It's 5 o'clock on the dot. I'm in my dot, but drop top cruising the streets.
It's actually 7.
But 7 o'clock. I knew it.
So why did you say 5? They didn't teach y'all that at Harvard?
I don't know. Like, it just, I just felt like saying that. I just felt like saying 5. Brown. But I know it's 7 o'clock on the dot. That's why I stumbled, though, because
I said 5. 7 o'clock on the dot.
I'm in my drop top cruising the streets.
Wah, yeah. Wah.
I got a real pretty thing.
No. Once again.
Now, when I was on a cruise a couple months ago, bro, me and my wife, we went on to karaoke.
I didn't know you did a cruise. I'm so glad that you made it back.
Yeah, man. I went Carnival. I'll never go Carnival again.
Oh,
listen, we can talk about it off air, but listen.
Yeah, let's talk about it off air because I don't want nobody to lose no sponsorship.
I work too hard.
I have something that I want to say about Carnival Cruise.
I'll say this. I work too hard in my life to be on Carnival Cruise. Anyway, moving on. So it's basically the spirit of cruise ships. Anyway.
Hey, look. RIP. My wife was supposed to take a cruise next month.
Uh-huh. Royal Caribbean.
Yeah.
Royal Caribbean, a good one.
We was going to go. Yeah, that's what we were going to do. But we decided that. You know, once that schedule came out in London,
okay.
My wife's like, I don't want to. We're going to London, and I've been dealing with some vertigo issues. We'll talk about that.
Okay, you know, I'm not going to London. They our Jags guy already gonna be there, so I won't be there.
Oh, that sucks. You're not going.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it. But that's not here or there.
That means we got to fight the Jags guy. Let's go to.
D-Rock a nice guy, so don't beat him.
I don't care about him being D-Rock nice. Like, we need the group. We need the crew there.
D-Rock like 5'5". I know that sucks. Cool. When I went to London for the Jets Falcons game, damn, it's crazy. 5 years ago, I guess technically Janae was also black, but everybody, I was basically the only black male on the beat. I was the only guy out there.
That's when you was in New York.
Yeah, it was just me and Janae was there. Janae's sister, she a real sister. I'll say that, but everybody else, you know what I'm saying? But anyway.
Once again, you're tuning to Jeremy and Joe right here on ESPN 97.5 Houston. That is DJ Bien-Aimé. I am Big Sarge. Now, DJ, before I get on my soapbox and respond to your best friend, give me the Paul. The top five. I wasn't going to say any names, but.
Nah, Paul, my dog.
Top five.
I would say, so it depends on what you're asking for. If you're asking for, you know, just in terms of contract avenue, contract averages, you know, that Dak is still number one at $60 million per year, blah blah blah. But like all that is still funny. It's just the average per se, like over that span of that contract. But that's not necessarily what they're getting that particular season, because while Dak is averaging 60 bones a year, right? That's what he's averaging this year. Just pure total cash, he's bringing in $40 million, because the year when he signed his extension, right, which was what, 2024, he got $87 million that year. And same with like Goff got $80 million that year, and then Jordan Love got $70 million that year. You know what I mean? So like,
I don't remember the years. I just remember that they gave it to him. And as a Cowboys fan, I'm saying to myself, "Oh, okay."
I don't know why you dislike Dak so much. Dak a good quarterback.
You don't like Dak?
It depends. Sometimes,
what's wrong with him?
Sometimes
he's a Cowboys fan.
He's Dak. Sometimes he's Rain Dakota.
You're a Cowboys fan too?
Huh?
You're a Cowboys fan?
A diehard.
Same.
Since 1975.
Okay, yep. We get it. 1975.
Hey, listen. I hope DJ can't hear, but he's a Dolphins fan.
Yeah, I know. It stinks. Yeah. I'm actually happy about this year, though.
I don't care about that. So, with that being said, DJ, hey, look, I need to stretch. Hold on for a second. Just give me, look, You take your headphones off if you want to. Make sure your talk button is off because I don't need you interrupting me for what I'm about to do right now.
I can get on my phone.
All the listeners and viewers, whatever you're listening to or watching us on right here on Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, whatever apparatus you're using, hey, you might want to turn it down a little bit because I may get just a tad bit loud, but I'm from the South. And in the South, we are loud. We do everything loud, slow, loud, and banging, all in your trunk foot. Anyway, hey, shout out to Zero who just shot the video finally for Mo City Dawn. Anyway, DJ, let me, before I talk about your best friend, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
CJ Stroud,
yeah,
quarterback for the Houston Texans, deserves every red nickel. I guess it's another cliche. Actually, you got to look that up. But he deserves every penny that the McNairs are willing to pay him. And let me tell you why.
Okay, but see, what? There's an opening there. When you say every penny that they're willing to pay him.
Right.
What if they're only willing to pay him $40 million per year?
Well, okay. So, all right. So, yeah, let me start over, right? He deserves every penny that David Mulugeta negotiates for him. Is that a better way of saying it?
I think you're better off just saying he deserves a market contract.
So what do you think David Mulugeta is going to do? Because I agree with your point about the McNairs, because of course if I'm the McNairs, I'm coming in with one price and then willing to go to something else. Like, I know where I want to go, but I'm going to start low. So you're right about that. I will say that you're right about that. So right. He deserves every penny that David Mulugeta, mm-hmm, his agent, negotiates for him.
Okay.
The reason why I say that is because, mm-hmm, and when we're talking about your best friend, when he says that we were too soft on him, especially based off of his last two playoff games and the way that you felt like he didn't play well last season. So my whole thing is, you can't just throw out a blanket statement like that without throwing in all the parameters. You can't just say, oh, yeah, CJ sucked in his third year, and he did this and he did that and other. Okay, cool. I got that part. CJ Stroud, going into his fourth NFL season, has played behind how many offensive line combinations, DJ? Four.
It's probably more than four.
Well, what I'm saying is, starting the season, this is his fourth different offensive line that he's playing behind.
That's pretty normal, though.
It's not normal.
Yes, it is.
That's no consistency.
Nah, that's pretty normal.
No, it's not normal, DJ.
A lot of teams shuffle, like, interior guys.
So one or two. But there is some consistency along that line that a lot of these quarterbacks have, especially in their fourth and fifth years.
Like who?
I can't name them to you. I can't name them off right now. Don't worry, though. I'll go home and do my research because I know who I'm dealing with. You,
yeah, I'm just saying,
per
man.
Se. So he's going behind his fourth. Normal. He's going behind his fourth offensive line. He's going with
normal,
his
though.
Second. So I guess it's normal for him to have his second offensive play caller too in 3 years.
That's not ideal, but that's also normal.
So when you're looking at the offensive line, there are some staples. So I put it like this. At this point, I know they probably couldn't. I know that they probably couldn't afford to pay Laramie what he wanted. They couldn't afford to play Titus what he wanted. But
it wasn't that they couldn't pay Laramie what they wanted. They just wanted to keep the defense together, and they knew Laramie was going to cost a lot. So.
Okay, so even with that being said, we've said this on numerous occasions that the offense has struggled while the defense has ascended because they have been together for 4 years, going on their fourth year consistently. The only thing that they're adding right now is Caden McDonald and Reed Blankenship into what you believe is the starting lineup. I believe it's going to be Tommy, but that's another story for another time.
Yeah.
But so he's playing on his fourth offensive line, that offensive line shuffle, which it could be he could start off with Jake Andrews at the center and end up with Keelan Rutledge.
No way.
It could happen, DJ. That's all I'm saying.
It's not going to happen. There's no way.
Injuries could happen.
Yeah, he hasn't hurt. He hasn't hurt.
Rutledge could Cole Popovich could see something in that and train. I don't want to say – never say never if that's a cliche to you. But with that being said, fourth offensive line, second offensive coordinator in 3 years, he got to learn a brand-new system last year, a whole new system. He had to forget everything he learned under Bobby, right? And so now, bam, that's gone. This year, no more Gerard Johnson. Now you have Jerry Stiplinski as his – hold on.
Saying his last name.
As huh?
Good job saying his last name, Jerry Sablinski.
Oh, you think because I went to HBCU, I can't say
Nah,
last
I remember names? When I went on NFL Live, like, I was going to say his name, but, like, I had slipped up a little bit, and then my brain went haywire. I have ADHD, so at that point, I wasn't going
to get Well, it probably went that way because you went to Yale. But.
Columbia.
Second offense coordinator and DJ. If we're going to look at it, right, and we're going to look at playoff success, right? So CJ in his first 3 years has won
a playoff game, yes.
three playoff games, three wild card playoff games,
yes,
right?
Yes.
He's lost three in the divisional round.
Yes.
What has been the common theme for that offensive side of the ball in those three playoff games?
They don't score.
Or
they don't score.
They don't have any wide receivers.
That's true.
When we watched them play in Baltimore, they only had Nico.
They had Nico.
They only had Nico. They lost Tank. They didn't have nobody else. They had, like, Steven Sims scored the only touchdown in that game, right?
Nah, but, you know, he's a rookie, so I would even, like.
So, okay, so the different. Next year, you go now, into Kansas City.
That one
City.
Was a fair one, but, I mean, they still had Nico. But that wasn't about no receivers, though.
But they didn't have Stephon Diggs, and they did not have Tank.
That one wasn't about receivers.
But if they had receivers, do you think it would have been different?
No.
Yes.
You're out of your mind.
You're out of your mind. If you think that Stephon Diggs wouldn't have brought Stephon Diggs and Nico wouldn't have helped
It wouldn't have changed that much.
It would have changed it. Nah. They probably could have won that game.
No shot.
Yeah, you crazy.
You know why? Because
you're telling me that a defense and hold on. And let me finish this point. Last year they go in to play the Patriots.
Now that one they needed Nico, yes.
Right. They didn't even have Nico, right? And then they lost. He lost his second best wide receiver and tight end Dalton Schultz.
And then he lost
the backup tight end in Cade Stover,
but
right?
But the game was over by that point.
But hold on. Let me just finish saying
and
what,
like,
I'm saying.
Cade is Cade.
You're not letting me just finish saying what I'm saying. Cade is Cade. The 3 years that he's played, right? And I get it. You want to take up for your best friend. I got that part.
I'm not.
But the 3 years that he's played in the divisional round, he has not had his full arsenal of weapons. Even last year, he was playing with a rookie running back. No, Joe Mixon probably. Joe Mixon could have changed things. But with that being said, with that being said, DJ,
I think the personal argument is good for last year.
The
weapons.
I'm gonna use fall three.
I don't think 2024 is, because having Steph and Tank, that doesn't change nothing, because they couldn't block. They could not block sim pressures. They could not block blitzes. They couldn't block.
We're gonna go to the break. Hold on, we gotta go to break. But here's my thing, DJ. Hold on. What allows that pressure?
No, bro.
When you only have one wide receiver to worry about.
No, bro.
They didn't care about whoever else was on the other side.
And when we come back from break, I'm going to give you an example of why it doesn't matter.
Oh, for sure, because I know you won't take up for your best friend. You listen to Jeremy and Joe right here on ESPN 97.5 Houston.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hey, welcome back to the Jeremy and Joe Show right here on ESPN 97.5 Houston. That is DJ Bienemy. I am Big Sarge. We are with you until 6 p.m. today, and right after us, make sure you stay tuned in to Soccer Matters. 6 p.m. live at Senate Avenue Brewing in Houston. Because I don't know if you all know this or not, but there is something that's really, really big happening for the city of Houston right now. And they are hosting World Cup games over at, they took down the letters NRG, so, or Reliant, or whatever it's going to be. We can't even say, so, like, we just say over at the stadium formerly known as NRG.
That's certainly one way to look at it.
When you was pulling up that they, like, there is nothing out there except the flag that says.
No, actually, I haven't noticed it.
Have taken that. Did you notice the gates around it like it was Madison Square Garden in Game 3?
No, I haven't noticed any of that.
Come on, man.
I'm there to go do my job and go home.
Oh, my God. You know what, DJ? Okay.
I'm here so I don't get fined.
I know you like one of them little kids. Once they get tired, they just start getting delusional. Make sure you stay tuned right here for Soccer Matters today. 6 p.m. live at Senate Avenue Brewing in Houston. All right.
So back to your take about
back to my point
about the
with CJ Stroud and why he deserves it, because he's literally been playing, well, not literally, because I forgot who I'm talking to. He's figuratively been playing with his one arm tied behind his back especially when it comes to the divisional rounds with him not having his full arsenal of weapons. And I will let me say this: last year, against the Patriots, he also lost Trent Brown, his starting right tackle.
But still, though, regardless of you, I think you could make the personal argument for last year, but at the end of the day, you can't throw four interceptions.
But can I finish?
You can,
Thank you so much. So
you can't throw four
interceptions. What I will say is this, DJ. Another commonality that has happened in those three games, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm pretty sure that I am on point. Hey, DJ, so I don't care about you timing me. Hey, DJ, was that Baltimore Ravens defense, that Kansas City Chiefs defense, and that New England Patriots defense, were they all top five defenses when the Texans went up against
the Ravens won? I think they might have been top two. I think Chiefs were top 10. Patriots were top 12-ish, but it was a fluky fake top 12. It wasn't a real top 12.
But they were really good, though.
I wouldn't say they were really good. I think they were
because of their schedule.
Yeah, so all the advanced metrics didn't really point to
But they had a good defense, though.
It was all right.
So what I'm saying is,
it was good. I'll say it was good, but it wasn't you can move the ball on that defense.
So all I'm saying is that even if we remove last year's game, when he started the game with no Nico, so they had Xavier Hutchinson, Christian Kirk, Jaden Higgins, who was a rookie, Jalen Noel, when they played him barely, but he didn't have any rookies. So last year, of course, and he played bad. He even admitted, he self-admittedly that, hey, man, I could have played better. I did not secure the football enough, even though some of those turnovers weren't on him. But if we go back to the year that you're talking about, 2024, right?
Yeah, there's no way if they have tank and stuff on, they still
the final score of that game was 23-14, right? Heading into the fourth quarter,
really,
it was 13.
Really
12. 20.
Really 23-12 because Kansas City took a safety.
Okay, so let's just say it that way, right? So, but heading into the fourth quarter, the score was 13-12.
Oh, yes, I know.
Right, it was a very, very tight game.
It was.
And so then, like I said, in the fourth quarter, because if I'm not mistaken, Travis Kelce had how many yards?
He had
117 and a touchdown.
He went 1 for 17?
He's 7 for 117 and a touchdown. He looked
unstoppable. I'm good. What? How I remember that?
Yeah, that's good. I told you the Rain Man on football stats. But so, DJ, you're saying you're going to poke a hole in my argument about 2024. And in that game, you had Nico Collins, 5 catches for 81 yards.
Ooh, that was close.
81 yards.
No touchdown, though.
Who you think was the second leading receiver?
That game?
Yeah.
I think Jerry Wayne.
Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, and then I know
Jared. 4 catches for 63 yards.
And then I know Jared Wayne got some targets that game.
Yeah, Jared Wayne didn't have any targets. No, two targets. I'm sorry. He had two targets. But you had Xavier Hutchinson, 4 for 52. John Mechie, 2 for 35. Mixon had 2 for 12. Irv Smith had 1 for 2.
But that's not the point I'm trying to make, though.
But hold on. So the point that I'm trying to make is,
if they had more receivers, they would have won that game.
Yes.
I don't agree, because they could not block.
If you put Stephon Diggs in the place, if you put Stephon Diggs where Dalton Schultz is and move everybody else down, now you got Nico, you got Diggs, and you got Schultz. And the reason why I said about the way that they were doing and bringing the pressure and things like that when it came to the Texans is because you're only scheming for Nico Collins.
No.
You don't have to scheme for Xavier Hutchinson.
No, that's not how that works.
That is how that works, no, DJ.
It's not how that works. When you're bringing pressure, you're attacking what you think their pass protection plan will be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're attacking. So you want to mirror it together, but that's what you're trying to attack. So you're like, are we going to show this look? We think this is how they will protect against that, or slide to protect against that. And then this is what we're going to do to counter so we can get a guy free.
What beats that?
No, bro.
Quarterback getting the ball out of his hands quick. If you have Stephon Diggs,
come on. But there were plays where they were getting there within less than 2 seconds. Come on, bro. CJ was pressured on the highest dropback rates since Tim Tebow in 2011.
And so with that being said, DJ, you can do that when you're only...
So explain when they played the Minnesota Vikings and they lost 34-7, and CJ had Nico, he had Tank, he had Stephon, and they were still pressuring him left and right. So explain that one.
You're talking about in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
You're talking about the game in Minnesota, right?
The game in Minnesota because the Texans were not at home in the divisional round against the Chiefs.
But hold on, they were playing in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
So what was one of the biggest takeaways coming out of that game first?
That it was penalties.
Penalties and short field. Go back and look at what was the quarterback at the time?
Sam Darnold.
Huh?
Sam Darnold.
So go back and look at those drives. A lot of those drives started within 30 yards and in. Like, they were giving the ball up. CJ turned the ball over, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I have to go back and look.
First drive.
Hey, right? Huh?
Yes, the first drive, yes.
Right. And so then when he turned the ball over, and then they had penalties, if I'm not mistaken, that caused a lot of penalties because Laramie was getting drugged
through
the mud over that. So
yes. But CJ was still pressured on 44% of his dropbacks in that game. 44% of his dropbacks. That's almost every other dropback, you're getting pressure.
Yeah, but that's different, though.
How's that different?
Because it's Brian Flores, and that's what he does.
And what do you think? And you've literally talked about a bunch of times about the DC for Kansas City and how he always sends exotic blitzes. And you even asked people before, like coaches before or whatever, like how to deal with, you know, those exotic blitzes. And you praise that, you know, you praise, his name escaped me right now, but you praise the Kansas City's DC, his name will eventually come back to me. You praise
Spagnola.
You praise him for the way he's able to send blitzes in very, very key situations. So, like, again, like...
And hold on.
CJ was sacked 8 times that game. I'm not saying that CJ playing in that game would not have... I mean, not CJ. Tank and Steph playing that game would not have changed much. I'm not saying...
It would have changed, but they
wouldn't have won because they couldn't block.
CJ
in that game was pressured 41 times on his dropback.
You're not understanding what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is he could have just got the ball out fast. Cool. Maybe. But what if they're covered for half a second? Because the pressure is getting there quickly. Because some guys are coming unblocked in that game. That's my point.
That happens in every game. Things like that happen in every game. Those are common football plays. What I'm saying is that you can't do that consistently over time. If you have a quarterback like we're talking about CJ Stroud. We're talking about a quarterback like CJ Stroud, right?
It's funny because like he was sacked 5 times when they didn't blitz. So they're sending 4 and they're still getting to him.
So that still goes back to what? The wide receivers.
No, because they were doing. They were throwing sim pressure. Like, it wasn't like they were just sending 4. They were showing sim pressure. They were using sim pressures to make you think. Okay, like I said earlier, you're gonna show this amount of guys out up at the line of scrimmage, and then you're gonna drop guys out. So while it might look like they're sending a bunch, they're only sending 4 because they're trying to manipulate your pass protection so they get guys free.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
So what I'm saying, like Tank doesn't fix that. Stephon Diggs doesn't fix that.
Hold on. So. Texans had best defense in the NFL last year, right?
Yes.
Second best because
yeah, no, but last year, players, yes, right? Yes. But we're talking about 2024.
So what did Drake May do to the Texans defense in the playoff game?
I mean, they held their own against
who,
them.
Who? But what did he do? Was he not getting the ball out of his hands quickly? Matter of fact, who scored a touchdown in that game?
Drake, do you know Drake May actually had a lower QBR in that game than CJ Stroud?
Drake is lucky that
CJ vomited on himself because Drake played like crap in that game too.
You're right, but he was getting the ball out of his hands.
No, he was not. He got sacked a bunch of times. He was vomiting on himself too.
Who scored a touchdown for them?
I know that he threw like 3 touchdowns.
Did Stephon Diggs score one?
Drake threw for 179 yards.
Okay, so
he threw for 179 yards.
But listen to what I'm saying, DJ. He still, look, he got sacked a bunch of times, but he still was able.
Bro, he got sacked 5 times, bro. What you mean he getting the ball out? He got sacked 5 times.
Listen, DJ, what I'm saying is that.
His average time to throw, he got out quicker than CJ. His average time to throw was 2.6 because they were trying to go quick game. But when that was not there in that moment, he was getting pummeled.
DJ.
I'm just saying, bro.
There's no possible way you're going to tell me that without Stephon Diggs and without Tank Dell, if they have Stephon Diggs or even Tank, because Tank was having a really good season by then too, you're going to tell me that just having Nico Collins and that defensive coordinator, what's his name again?
Steve Spagnuolo.
Steve Spagnuolo, right? They wasn't going to say, oh, who the only, they only got Nico? Oh, don't worry about it. We got it. Listen.
Yes, they were double teaming him. Yes, I agree.
We got to go to a break.
Yes. Go ahead.
Take when we come break. Back, we'll in all honesty, I don't really know what we're going to talk about. Something that CJ's DJ is probably going to get mad over. No, I'm going to do this thing the right way.
Do it the right way.
When we come back from the break, I want you to enlighten me on why you believe that Texas Tech hasn't done the right thing by getting rid of their quarterback yet. You're tuning in to Jeremy and Joe right here on ESPN 97.5 Houston. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. It's DJ and Big Sarge Media. You know what I'm saying? Big Sarge hat, all that.
Jeremy and Joe's country cousins.
Jeremy and Joe's country cousins. I like how you did that. You know, we're picking up right where we left off, because I still don't think you finished your point about why CJ.
Why your best friend was wrong?
No. Why CJ deserves his contract.
Because, and I think that even D'Amico Ryan said it today at the press conference, if I'm not mistaken. Did he not say that we've built this defense up over the last 4 years and they've been consistent over the last 4 years? They haven't had consistency on the offensive side of the ball since CJ has been here. And that's, you know, some of that, of course, is due to injury. Some of that is due to having a first-time play caller who you know, some of that is due to...
No, for sure. I can agree there.
You know, so what I'm saying is that this year will be only the second time in 4 years that he's played in a consistent system, one. And then, two, now you went out and you did get... So they made a concerted effort this past offseason to build up the offense. They went out and they got Wyatt Teller. They went out and they got Braden Smith. They drafted Keelan Rutledge. Yeah. They went out. They got another tight end. So they made a concerted. They went out. They traded for David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Like, they made a concerted effort to say, okay, so we know what we have on the defensive side of the ball. Let's go ahead and build up some consistency on the offensive side of the ball. And that's why whatever CJ has accomplished, because, like, think about it. Even without that, CJ has accomplished more than what, Justin Herbert?
Yes.
Has accomplished more than Trevor Lawrence?
Yes.
So, and that's with him not being in a consistent system. Like, imagine imagine if CJ was going into his third year of the same system. Same system, same consistency on the offensive side of the ball. Would we not be saying, hey, man, this man should have got paid as soon as the season was over?
I would say, what's the word that people like to use? To be fit, to play devil's advocate, right? So you don't think
cliche.
Yeah.
You
don't think if Trevor and Justin had that defense, they could have won at least two playoff games?
If they had their, say it again?
If they had the Texans defense, you don't think they could have won? Well, Trevor already has a playoff win.
Yeah.
But you don't think they could have?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, when Trevor's been there, they've had one of those years they had a really good defense.
Yeah, last year.
But 2 years ago, 2023, they wet the bed when they were leading the division.
For sure. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, so, and then you said who else? Justin?
Yeah, if Justin had the Texas defense, you don't think he would have had multiple.
Justin had some pro bowlers and all pros on
side
of the ball.
He's rarely had an actual like defense that's like top. That's a Texas level. Like, let's go top five. You know, neither one of them ever had a top
five.
So
what if CJ had the healthy offensive line of the Chargers, not what they ended up with? Like, last year, I would give Justin Herbert a pass last year. He was playing with sackers and stockers from grocery stores on the offensive line.
For sure.
So, I you know, and he's still made it.
You're saying like a healthy,
they got a good offensive line.
To be fair, again, devil's advocate.
Cliche.
If we're going Joe Alt and Slater, if we got those two, we can be honest, Tunsil and Howard are comparable.
So if he can keep them, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying those two are comparable. Like we like those two duos are comparable in that aspect. So like he has had that. He has had what you're referring to in that aspect.
Was he successful?
CJ? Yeah, but I'm saying like
okay.
In those playoff
games. So I don't understand what you're saying.
In those playoff because in those playoff games, because we were talking about, you know, accomplished, like in terms of could they all been Pro Bowlers, they've all thrown for 4,000 yards. We're really just talking about winning playoff games with that,
and that's what I'm talking. I'm only talking about.
And I'm
the
saying
rounds.
If Justin had their defense and if Trevor had their defense, it's fair to say they would have won. They would have beat the Cleveland Browns, right, in 2023 with Joe Flacco. 2024, I mean, obviously that gets a little wonky because Chargers, whatever, whatever. I can say with that defense, because again, that defense they scored multiple touchdowns. I think Eric Murray had one, and did Stingley? Nah, I don't know if Stingley scored a pick six in that one, but I know he's. Justin had, they forced four turnovers in that game, right? So it's fair to say Trevor probably would have won that game too. And then against the Steelers, Justin, if he did nothing, would have still won that game too because the defense forced.
Well, what if CJ would have had the
14
the,
points themselves?
What if CJ would have had the offensive coordinator from the Jags?
Oh, Liam Cohen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he put some good numbers.
So, I mean, we could play what
if
all
saying,
day.
So,
right?
Like, I think, like, when it's not, like.
If and bust with candy.
Yeah, for sure. So, I think sometimes when it's not, like, clear, like, you're the reason why we won this game, it's kind of hard to then do the accomplishment thing.
Okay, so with that.
But being, I do think that, you know, he's earned.
So
he's earned, you know, at least not reset the market. But I think if they paid him over 50, I wouldn't be like, oh. So
with that being said, right, year, with is. Having that defense, meaning that defense is going to go out and create turnovers. That defense is going to go out and get stops and get them the ball back.
Uh-huh.
But just like what you said, remember what you said earlier? They know, don't tell me talking about I come in early and leave late,
right? Don't tell me I come in early and leave late. Yeah, who cares?
So even though they get the ball back, if they're inefficient, they ain't doing nothing but giving them a three-play break, and then they got to come right back out.
I mean, that's what the Texans defense, offense, you do at times.
Yeah, so
and that's what they're doing against the Steelers.
So that's what I'm saying is that a lot of that stuff that happened was, see, Bobby even said, hey, man, look, CJ corrects a lot
of
my mistakes.
Especially 2023. Like,
he said CJ corrects
that I agree.
A lot of my mistakes. And I wish that they would have been able to get on and stay on the same page.
Yeah, I agree because I like Bobby's play calling. Like I think Bobby has more upside for a quarterback's production than Nick Kelly does.
So here's my thing, DJ.
I wish they could have figured it out. I wish they could have figured it out. But at the end of the day, Bobby had to be more collaborative and less I know it all.
The only problem that I had with Bobby Slowick was, okay, I'm going to use me for an example. Most of the times I know that I'm the smartest guy in the room. I don't have to show that all the time. I don't have to let everybody know.
I don't think he thought he was a smart guy in the room, but I think that he wanted to prove he was the smartest guy in the room, and that's the problem.
Right, and so with that being said, he doesn't. It's my way or the highway.
Exactly.
I'm not adjusting, right?
Exactly.
And he comes from an analytical background, right? From PFF.
Yeah, but
so now
but
you're looking.
I
at,
wouldn't. He's not really like he worked at PFF, but that's kind of like.
But I'm still saying he was in that analytical realm, right?
His dad was a coach. He coached. He was with the
he coached defense.
Which is a good place to coach,
right?
And go to offense.
I get that part.
Yeah.
So when you come over to the offensive side of the ball, his problem is one of the things that we always would say all the time would be what? Hey, man, after the second half, y'all can't do anything, which reminded me a lot of a year or two prior. I think a year or two prior to, I think it may have been.
Talking with Davis?
Huh?
Talking with Davis and Lovie Smith?
Yes. Yeah, I think it was if I'm not mistaken. Is at one point. I can't remember what year it is. I have to go back and look. But at one point, the Texans defense was holding teams to 10 points or less in the first half. That defense was holding.
Yeah.
And then in the second half of games, they were giving up like 17 or 20 points because the offense wasn't doing anything. So now those number of plays that you've been on the field starts to stack up and add up. So
you're basically saying CJ should get paid because
he did a lot with
less.
He's
had to do a lot with less.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that he should be rewarded for that. Now, if we were talking about everything being intact, and it doesn't have – I put it like this. What percentage would you give the CJ operating with on offense his last three seasons here?
I mean, you talking about like how much full control he has over it?
No, I'm just like 70, 75%.
In terms of the full control of, like, he can audible all that, really just last year.
Huh?
Really just last year.
So, right.
But
so.
but that's more of a Kyle Shanahan slash, like, that tree. That's just how they kind of operate. Like, they handle that. You just go play football.
So, which is really weird because Bobby act like he didn't watch the Super Bowl between the Falcons and the Patriots.
But they didn't do anything.
Because you were up 28-3. You remember what Matt Ryan said? Remember when they should have
kicked? Yeah, but he shouldn't have took the sack.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Like,
you remember when he said that we should have kicked the field goal, but, right? But hold on. Let me just finish. What? Matt Ryan said one of the reasons why that drive was so bad was because Kyle was in my ear for so long calling so much stuff that by the time I got to the line, I'm not able to make adjustments. Does that sound familiar?
For sure. I guess you're saying that.
So that's what I'm saying. Bobby watched that. Bobby knew that. So, but you come and you do the same thing to CJ.
Well, I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say that, though.
I want to finish this.
Yeah, no, I'm going to finish the next one. But, I mean, tricky, but yeah.
Because before we leave up out of here, I want to definitely talk about, what you think Nick Cayley is going
to
be in?
Yeah. Like, to be honest, like,
wait, not yet. Do it after the break.
All right.
When we come back from the break, we'll talk about year two Nick Cayley. You tune in to Jeremy and Joe right here on ESPN 97.5 Houston.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Well, it's not Jeremy and Joe. It's the country cousins, DJ Benjamin and Big Sarge right here on ESPN 97.5. We have one segment left, but
last
guess what?
Segment.
You get to listen to us again tomorrow as the guys. Hey, hold on.
G-U
like, met? Hold on. My what man. Are they doing, though? Like,
they're on vacation.
Well, vacation doing what? Like, with their kids and their family?
Probably. I mean, they're both married.
I need to see pictures. Like, where are you? Like, ain't no such thing as a staycation either. They both have kids, right? They both have wives, if I'm not mistaken. They have families. Let me put it like that. Where are you, Joe George?
You funny,
where are
man.
You, Jeremy Branham? Hey,
he's funny. I know what type of reference he's making.
I want to see it. Look, I just want to see it so I can be like, man oh said, man, that's cute. So I can let their listeners and viewers know. Hey man, Joe George and his huge salary is in Turks and Caicos. Ain't man, that where the man, all the rappers go?
The man saying
Joe George could be a rapper. I feel like he had a mixtape back in the day. You don't think so? Joe George looked like he wore oversized white tees.
He for sure wore oversized white tees.
Yep, sure in my wore, white tees. He for sure wore yep. white Hey, listen, white make sure you stay tuned right here after the Jeremy and Joe show concludes at 6 p.m. Soccer Matters comes on. And if you want to catch it live, go down to Senate Avenue Brewing in, why does it say Senate Avenue Brewing in Houston? Like, why, where would I send them? Like, if I'm going to say, if you want to see it live, go to Senate Avenue. Well, because maybe it could have been Senate. Well, I don't know of no Senate Avenue in Magnolia. Ain't no Senate Avenue out where you stay. Ain't what? No Senate Avenue.
Sinning?
Senate. S-E-N-A-T-E.
Oh, okay.
Just make sure you stay tuned and listen live right here to Soccer Matters. All right, DJ. Before we go, I have to ask you this question. One. On tomorrow, can you give me a brief recap on Love Island?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, today's going to be a spicy episode. They just brought in 3 bombshells.
Okay, so
and
maybe
one of the bombshells, hey, Lord have mercy, she's going to shake the room, boy.
Hey, look.
And, well, actually, 2 of the girls, they're going to shake the room. Now, the other boy, he going to shake it in a weird way because, like one of the girls, she kind of like country southern, and he country southern too. But she paired up with the country southern girl named Kenzie. She paired up with a Jamaican from Miami. So like from an aesthetic standpoint, they don't really match. But like she like got rocks in her brain, and he kind of got some Diddy ways to an extent. You know what I'm saying?
DJ, hold on, DJ. Let me apologize to you because it wasn't fair to you for what I just did. Okay.
What?
You don't have kids, right?
No, I don't. Not yet.
You don't have grandkids.
Well,
because you have to have kids to have grandkids.
Obviously, so I have kids. I would have never.
I have kids and I have grandkids. That's so right. I know how to fake like I'm interested.
Okay.
So, like, I really don't give a damn about Love Island, but I didn't want you to leave up out of here after I done kicked your butt on this show today. I didn't want you to leave up out of here with no hard feelings. So, I wanted you to get in the car and say, damn, Sarge really cares about me. But in all honesty, DJ, like, I care about you, but that's how I do my grandkids. You think that I really, really care what goes on Mickey Mouse Playhouse? I don't.
Anyway.
But I will watch it. Shout out to Disney.
anyway.
But DJ, before we get up out of here.
Nick Cayley.
Nick Cayley, year two. What are you expecting?
He got to produce an explosive passing offense. I think that's
what is it? What you mean explosive? I'm asking.
Just one that can consistently produce big plays through the air, man. I think it can scheme guys open consistently.
Yes.
I'm big on that. There's a lot of times where it was kind of like a stagnant type of passing attack at times. He got better at times throughout the year, but just consistently being able to draw up plays to push the ball down the field.
So real quickly, I just want to ask you these questions before we have to get up out of here. So with that being said, because he doesn't have the wide receiver, I don't think they have wide receivers that can take the top off the defense.
I think Noah can. Nico can too.
But
they got what necessary to do that. You don't need like. No, don't get me wrong. Like,
because Tyreek Hill is one of the ones.
But
that's an anomaly, right?
Yeah.
But Noah presents. And don't get. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about someone that can consistently take the top off of a defense to whereas the defense has to stay back. Because
sure.
I know that Nico has speed. Yeah, I know Jalen knows.
I get what you're saying, though.
So do you think that with that being the case, can Nick Cayley scheme explosive plays? And what I mean by that is
he can. He just has to do it consistently.
Because I seen a formation today that I'm not going to say on air that I looked. Because, and I said, I was on a podcast last night and I was asked that question. I was like, he's going to have to learn how to scheme explosive. So do you believe he can do that?
I think he can. It's not about can he, because I think if you're an offensive coordinator, you can do it. Can you do it consistently? And I think that's my only thing. Can he consistently scheme those plays up? We're going to see, you know what I'm saying? Like we're going to see in that aspect. And I hope that we're able to see that more often. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of, cause last year, man, like I hope this is correct, but it looked like they this can't be right. But
yeah, they didn't have a lot of explosive last year.
Yeah. But I don't think the way I drew it up on my, you know, my advanced stats site is doing it correctly. But either way though, I think they can. They just have to consistently do it because, man, like, that's the only way you're going to be able to open up the run game too, right? And, like, be able to consistently keep defenses off balance. So, that.
Especially with David Montgomery now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think David's going to be good, but, you know, people kind of. I mean, we'll see, but, like, you know, I think he's a good running back. But people kind of talking about him like he going to be Joe Mixon. And we got that we got to see.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, that one we got to see.
Joe Mixon was special.
Yeah, like, bro, like, Joe Mixon, like, hurt, Joe Mixon came in and first game, buck 59.
I hate
first
that
game,
hurt,
bro.
Man.
Yeah, bro, like, Joe was basically at times carrying the offense.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately carrying that offense. So, like, in a playoff game, too, like, he was carrying that offense. So, yeah, And I'm not saying, like, David won't make an impact, but, like, Joe was basically playing. If he doesn't get hurt and miss those three games, he might have been all pro.
I believe that.
Yeah, he
might have been. I agree with you.
That's how well he was playing. Now, I'm not saying he definitely would have, but he was playing, like whoa. Like, because, again, like, they brought in Steph. You had Tank coming back. You had Nico. You had CJ come out rookie year. And the best player in our offense from a skill position standpoint was Joe. Now, granted, Nico went crazy to start the year, but – you know, he came back and, you know, he was good, but he wasn't what he was to start off.
Got hurt that year too, though, right?
Yeah, but Joe was like, whoa. You know what I mean? So
Joe got hurt on a dirty tackle, too.
Yeah, but I don't call that one dirty because, like, it's a hard tackle to, like, not. You know, it's tricky. So I wouldn't call that one dirty. It's illegal, but I wouldn't call it dirty because, like, nobody intentionally tries to tackle that way, if that makes sense. But, yeah, bro, like, I think Nick Haley is going to have to –
So what do you think about the offensive line?
I think
you
starting
Trent,
I think,
or would you give Braden Smith that position?
I mean, you paying Braden, so you might as well start. I mean, Trent or swing tackle. So it's Trent or swing tackle. You got Teller. You know what I'm saying? Left guard. You got Kalen.
This is a go ahead, my bad.
Yeah, no, you got Kalen at his other spot. So yeah, like I think that one is pretty obvious how that one's going
to
go.
Do you
yeah.
start Jake Andrews and then move to Keelan Rutledge at center?
Hell no. Nah, you don't drop a guy in the first round to keep him on the bench for Jake Andrews. If he's on the bench because of Jake Andrews, then that's a...
Well, he hasn't played center, though.
Again, you...
You got to get him. Yeah, like, yeah, you're going to put your... You're going to put a guy who hasn't played professionally,
yes,
who hasn't played at that spot in a very long time, only took snaps at the Senior Bowl in front of your quarterback...
Yeah.
Your fourth-year quarterback that they're about to give a whole bunch of money to?
I'm good with that. Yeah, I don't got no issue with that. No issue with that. Because Jake doesn't move nobody off the ball. That's the issue. He don't move nobody off the ball.
Right. So, I mean,
I know at least Kalen will move somebody off the ball.
So, what do you think those defensive coordinators going to – where is the pressure going to come from then?
Right?
With the same issue that they've been having for years.
But they didn't have that issue last year, though.
On the interior?
In terms of sim pressures, they didn't have that issue for real. It wasn't.
You thought Jake Andrews played very well last year?
No, it's not that. I think because that's not a player talent issue. That is a schematic issue that Bobby could not answer.
Well, Nick Haley was the coordinator last year. You think he answered it?
Yeah, I think him and Cole Poppy had a better plan to deal with that stuff. That's why they allowed the fewest sacks in franchise history.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. What I'm going to need you to do, DJ, is I'm going to need you to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of watching Love Island, I'm going to need you to practice because we got to do this thing all over again tomorrow.
Ain't no practice, bro.
I mean, if you ask me nicely, I'll probably let you win some of these debates.
Child, please.
I mean, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right?
You said Katie McDonald going to play harder because you got a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You've been tuned in to Jeremy and Joe right here at ESPN 97.5 Radio. DJ, do you have any final words?
No final words, man. You know, we'll be right back here tomorrow, 3 to 6, talking a bunch of gibberish.
We out.
ESPN 97.5.